This podcast is brought to you by Church of Living Waters. Find out more information at colw.info. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
I'm so honored to be here and to speak to you guys. Oh, man, I'm going to be a senior in high school, and I'm really bummed about it, to be honest, because I have such an awesome youth group. You see them up here, and they're worshiping God. They're up here, and they're on the front lines, and they're so bold. And, a lot of the girls that came with us, they're going to be in ninth grade, and it's amazing just to hear the wisdom that's in their hearts. And, I'm so honored to be with them. So I just wanted to say that. So before I get started, I just want to pray real quick. So if you bow your heads with me, Father God, I just thank you for this day, and I thank you for the amazing opportunity that you've given me. God, I thank you that you have made me worthy, Lord, to speak your word, God. I thank you, Lord, that it says in Isaiah 61 that you have anointed me to preach the gospel, to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, Lord. I thank you, God, your Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me, God, that these words aren't mine, but they are yours, Lord. And I pray that they will not fall to the ground, but they will go to every single person's heart, God, and they will move them, Lord. And I pray that these words will give life and abundant life, Lord. And to your precious name I pray, Father. Amen. All right, so the name of my message is going to be called The Benefits of a People Whose Hearts Are After God. And a couple months ago, God was just really putting on my heart, that I was going to be speaking, that he wanted me to speak more. And I was like, I don't know, I'm not that great of a speaker, I get real nervous. And I was like, God, if this is just from you, I'll prepare my heart and just, confirm your word. And like the next week, Pastor Darren comes up to me and he's like, I feel like God is wanting you to speak about next month at church. And I was like, all right, cool. It's really awesome. God always confirms his word. So the first scriptures we're going to be looking at is in, turn to 2 Chronicles 7, chapter 7, verse 1. And it says, as soon as Solomon finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. When all the people of Israel saw the fire come down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed down with their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, for he is good and his steadfast love endures forever. And if you go down just a little bit to verses 12, it says, then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and will turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And so we're looking at King Solomon. He's the son of David. In the beginning, before he even begins his reign, he dedicates this temple to God. He cries out to God for his kingdom, and he says, Lord, this place I'm dedicating to you. And so we're seeing that there is a benefit, that there is a blessing that comes with that. The Lord says, because you've done this, I'm going to, my spirit is going to fill this place, and I'm going to heal your land and bless your people. And so real quick, we're going to look at some of the benefits that come with what Solomon did. And in verse 15, it says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. For now, I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all of time. And as for you, if you will walk before me as David your father walked, doing accordingly to all that I've commanded you, and keeping my statutes and my rules, then I will establish your royal throne as I covenant with David your father, saying, you shall not lack a man to rule Israel. And so we're seeing God is saying, if you would just obey me, if you just commit your ways to me, I'll listen, I'll be here for you. I will do everything everything you want. But then we see, if we go down to verse 19, it says, this is what's going to happen if he doesn't do it. It says, but if you turn aside and forsake my statutes and my commandments that I have set before you and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck you up from my land that I have given you and this house that I have consecrated for my name. I will cast out of my sight and will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And at this house, which was exalted, everyone passing by will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done this to this land and to this house? Then they will say, and listen, this is the key. because they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt and laid hold on other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, he has brought this disaster on them. You know, I grew up in a Christian household. You know, my parents are the youth pastors. And, you know, I've been saved like my whole life. But there was a time that, you know, I pulled myself away from God and I became my own God, just being honest. And, you know, I can promise you, it was the darkest pit that I have ever been in. And, you know, I've been in dark places before. You know, I've been through family struggles. I've suffered losses of loved ones. But the thing was, in those dark places, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, that peace and security was with me. And so I could deal with those things. But whenever I pulled myself away from God and those dark times came, that peace and security I had with God vanished. And so I had to recognize the hopelessness that I had without the Spirit of God that brought that peace with me. And once I did, I promise you, just such a peace comes with that. And so that being said, I want us to turn real quick to 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 9. And it says, "And the Lord was angry with Solomon." And this is Solomon, the guy who dedicated the temple to the Lord. "And he was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning the thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he did not keep what the Lord commanded. Therefore, the Lord said to Solomon, 'Since this has been your practice and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes that I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant.'" So this is King Solomon, the guy who dedicated this place to the Lord. He turned away from God, and all those blessings that God had promised him were taken away from him. And so we see in the next chapter, in chapter 12, we see that after he had died, his son Rehoboam was going to take over, you know, naturally. And so the people of Israel, they come up to Rehoboam and they're like, "You know, your dad was kind of harsh on us. So, you know, if you will, you know, like, cut us some slack and, you know, we'll happily serve you." And he's like, "All right, you know, I'll think about it. I'll get back with you guys." And so he goes to the old council. And, you know, these are smart guys. You know, they're around with Solomon. And Solomon was like the wisest man ever. So these guys know what they're talking about. And so he asked them, he's like, "You know, what should I do?" And they said, you know, if you will serve them, if you will be kind to them, they will serve you for the rest of your life. And he's like, "Nah, whatever." And so he goes to his buddies and he's like, "So what do you guys think I should do?" And more specifically, what they say is, "My little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. And now where my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but surely I will discipline you with scorpions." So that doesn't sound very nice, but he listens to them, and he goes to the people, and he tells them that. And sure enough, the people of Israel rebel against him, and because of that, the kingdom splits into two. And so we see Solomon, who was good to God, he listened to him, and once he turned away from God, the blessing just, everything just was just falling apart. And so after the kingdom splits, we see for the next generations, just godless kings who totally just disregard the foundation that King David had set at the kingdom as a place of worship for God. And so just like for the next generations, we see that the temple that, you know, Solomon had prayed over, it becomes a place of idol worship, of cult practices. But I want us to look at someone later on. He comes in, and his name is King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah was like completely different than all these other kings who were like completely godless. He comes in and he just restores the temple worship. He like takes down all of those idols and he says, "You know what, this place is going to belong to God. You know, this is what this place is meant for." And so if we look in 2 Chronicles 31 verses 20, it says, "Thus Hezekiah did throughout all of Judah, and he did what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God. And every work that he undertook in the service of the house of God and in accordance with the law and the commandments seeking his God, he did with all of his heart, and he prospered." And so he dedicated his reign to Jesus, and he prospered. And so this next chapter, chapter 32, we're going to look at a guy named Sennacherib, who's the king of the Assyrians. And he invades Judah. That's where Hezekiah was reigning. And his whole army just like surrounds the place. And they're like talking smack, you know, like, "Oh, your God's nothing." And King Hezekiah, he goes back to his people and he says, In 32 verse 7, he says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria and all the horde that is with him, for there are more with us than are with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people took confidence from the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. You see, whenever you have Jesus Christ, no matter what happens, you have a confidence. There is a peace that is with you that no matter what happens, no matter how big and bad, you know, your situations may seem, you say, all right, you know, this is looking bad, but I know who my God is. I know that he loves me and that he is going to protect me, that he goes before me. And in 2 Chronicles, right, somewhere around here. Oh, in the next couple of verses, we see Sennacherib. He hears what they're saying, what Hezekiah says, and he goes back and he's like, "Is this guy for real?" And so he's talking to these people, and he says, "Now therefore, don't let Hezekiah deceive you or mislead you in this fashion. Don't believe him, for no god of any nation or kingdom has been able to deliver his people from my hand or from the hand of my fathers. How much less will your God deliver you out of my hand?" And you know, you're reading that, and you're like, seriously, does he know who this God is? And sure enough, you know, that night, Hezekiah and Isaiah, they are just praying and they're seeking God's face and they're just calling on the Lord. And that night, as the army of the Assyrians are surrounding the kingdom of Judah, and God sends an angel, and the angel just completely wipes out the entire Assyrian army. I can imagine like one of the soldiers walking out the next morning expecting to have like this big battle. He walks out and he sees just like this dead army, and he's like, all right, cool. You know, no more big fights. And so it says that Sennacherib, Sennacherib runs home, and he goes home because like his whole army is dead. And so he goes back home and his own sons kill him with a sword. And so what I'm trying to say is that when you're serving a God who you know is for you and not against you, and when you're dedicating your will and your ways to the Lord, whenever your situations come, whenever your struggles come, you can have peace and know that the Lord is going before you and he is going to just make a way for you. And you know, you might be thinking like, well, how do I do that? How do I dedicate my will? How do I dedicate my ways to the Lord? You love him. And you say, well, how do I love him? You obey him. Those two things, they're the same. And in order for us to draw closer to him, we have to see that there has to be a sacrifice that we make. You know, there is a king, his name was King Jotham. He was before Hezekiah. And, you know, he loved God. You know, he followed the commandments. He followed the law of the Lord. But he didn't give up. He didn't put away with the pagan worship. He didn't put away with the idol worship. He let his people continue to serve these other gods. And because of that, God couldn't bless his people. And so, you know, the rich man who came to Jesus and he said, you know, I follow the law. You know, I do all these right things. You know, what do I need to get to heaven? Jesus says, go and sell all your possessions. There is that sacrifice that rich man had to make, but he couldn't do it. You know, the Bible says to take up your cross and follow me. Before you can get closer to God, sometimes we got to make a sacrifice. And I want us real quick to look at Matthew chapter 18, verses 8. And it says, and if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it's better for you to enter life crippled or lame than to be thrown into the eternal fire with two hands and two feet. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better for you to enter eternal life with one eye than to be thrown into the eternal fire with two eyes. So what is this scripture saying? It's saying if there's something in your life that is causing you to pull away from God, that's causing you to sin, you need to get rid of it. You know, if you're in a relationship that's causing you to sin, you need to get out of it. You know, if you can't even like go on the internet without being tempted to do something that you know does not please God, you need to stay away from it. You know, God wants to do something in your life, and you have to be willing to make a sacrifice. You have to be willing to say, you know, my life, this isn't my life. You know, the Lord gave up his life for you. The least you can do is say, God, I'll do whatever you want. And so with that being said, you know, we're looking at these things like, man, God is just going to bless you so much if you just dedicate yourself to him. And, you know, these benefits, they aren't limited to you. These benefits are for your children and for your children's children. And I want to ask the prayer team to come up, because if you're in a place and you're saying, you know, I haven't been dedicating my life to God, I haven't been dedicating my will, I haven't been dedicating my ways, I haven't been bringing my children up in the ways of the Lord, if that's you, I want you to come up and I want you to ask for prayer, because God is for you. God wants to bless you. He wants to give you fullness of joy, of peace, of prosperity. He has something for your life. And if you were like me and you kind of pulled yourself away from God, but you want to come back to him, you want that fullness again, you know, come up for prayer.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were encouraged and would love to hear from you. For more information on Church of Living Waters, check out col.info.